This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. Tomorrow in Rome, visitors will be allowed into the crypt to view the tomb of Pope John Paul II. Today, the media were allowed in, including veteran Newsweek correspondent Christopher Dickey. Dickey's been updating us on the papal proceedings. Today, he spoke with Day to Day's Noah Adams.
Mr. Dickey, welcome back to our program.
Well, it's my pleasure.
What was it like to go down under St. Peter's Basilica, down into the grottos? Was it echoing footsteps and dampness coming upon you? What's it like?
Oh, I wish it were as atmospheric as all that. It's not, really. You're talking about vaulted hallways that are fairly wide. I don't think they'll be nearly wide enough to accommodate the kinds of crowds they will eventually get. But for us today, the press that were given a first viewing of the grave of John Paul II, it was quite roomy enough and well lit. There are a lot of graves and tombs down there. John Paul I is down there. Paul VI is down there. And then you get to the grave of John Paul II, and it's a very simple, large stone lying on the surface of the floor with a large frieze of the Madonna behind it and a large potted lily with then a candle in front of it. And that's all there is to see, really.
Do you have a sense, though, of history of the other popes, 147, I've read, other popes there? Do you feel that around you?
You do, although it's not that dense kind of catacomb feel that you might expect. It's nicely spaced as if in a museum. Some of the stones from the graves of the very early popes are standing upright. I think the graves have long since been lost somewhere. And then as you, just after you see John Paul II's grave, you sort of round a corner, and there is the room, very, very ornate room, where the remains of St. Peter himself are supposed to be held. And that, of course, was previously the moment that was the pinnacle of the tour for anybody who went down in those corridors.
Tomorrow, the crowd expected by the Vatican would be what, and would it be, in terms of numbers, and would it be mostly Polish? I understand that a lot of people from Poland are staying so they can worship there, among other things, in hopes of urging on early sainthood for John Paul.
I'm not sure we know what to expect tomorrow. Certainly the Vatican would expect thousands, if not tens of thousands of people, based on the kinds of crowds that we saw a few days ago. But it isn't sure that there will be that many. You know, it started raining immediately after the funeral, and it rained all weekend. So people who had been in sleeping bags and sort of improvising their accommodations, a lot of them decided to go home, especially the Poles, many of whom had come on shoestring budgets.
Do you have the feeling there in Vatican City that the important thing is the conclave to come and the new pope, or the important thing at the moment is the death of John Paul?
You know, I think because of the silence that we have from the cardinals, the important thing remains the death of John Paul. Instead of getting involved in this kind of handicapping for the papal horse race, we still have a period of reverence for the late John Paul II, which is probably a good thing. Ultimately, I don't think the cardinals know who is going to be the next pope. I don't think they're going to know when they go into the conclave. And there's a good chance that they're not going to know for many days after they go into the conclave. If it really becomes a political kind of undertaking, they may have to go through dozens of ballots before they get to the point where 50% plus one is allowed to choose the next pope.
Christopher Dickey of Newsweek talking with us from Vatican City. Thank you, Mr. Dickey.
Thank you very much, Noah.
I'm Noah Adams.
Day to Day returns in a moment. I'm Madeline Brand.